All right, welcome to Swish and Tell, where we cover top stories over the last week from thepeachbasket.net. Let's dive right in. Jason Tatum's performance against the Spurs. What can you really say except that it was a masterclass? His scoring efficiency was off the charts. What was it, Marcus? 50% from the floor?
Yeah, man, 50%. And it wasn't like he was just taking open looks. He was out there creating these opportunities, driving into traffic, pulling up, hitting it from three. It was like the Spurs had no answers for him.
Exactly. And what really stood out to me beyond the scoring was how he controlled the game's tempo. He wasn't just a scorer. He set the tone for how the Celtics flowed offensively. When they needed to slow things down, there he was, orchestrating, finding his spots.
Right, and you could see that leadership. That's like the next evolution of a franchise player, man. He's not just putting up points. He's making everyone else better out there, too. And honestly, this reminded me of that Celtics-Nets game a couple seasons back. You remember the one, Eric? Tatum went for 54 and just torched us at Barclays Center.
I remember that game well. It was a defining moment. Pure dominance. What stood out to you about that performance?
Everything. I mean, the Nets threw double teams at him. They tried to body him up with bigs, even threw in guards to try and disrupt him. And he just shredded all of it. Mid-range, deep threes, even these slick fadeaways. He was in control, like, no matter what. You could see the evolution in real time. It was like watching the blueprint for the Tatum we see now.
It's interesting, isn't it? Performances like that game against the Nets, and now this one against the Spurs, they show you how he's not just learned the game. He's reshaped it for himself, really tailored it. That's why he's not just the Celtics' star, he's their cornerstone.
For real. And I think his leadership shows in those clutch moments too. Like, this isn't new. Dude's been delivering when it matters. Think about all the game winners, the playoffs. You can't coach that. You either got it or you don't. And man, Tatum's got it.
Well, there's really no debate at this point. Tatum isn't just a star. He's a quintessential player for this era of basketball. His versatility, his IQ, his ability to elevate when it matters. It's all there.
Man, thinking about Tatum's dominance against the Spurs, you've got to wonder, how much of that is their own struggles down the stretch? It's like they just cannot close games lately. They've dropped these tight ones like it's a habit now. It's painful to watch.
It really is. And that late game execution, Marcus, I feel like Chris Paul's declining impact is central to it. I mean, he still has the mind for those pressure moments, but his physical limitations are starting to show.
Exactly. Like, CP3's a legend. No one's denying that. But you watch someone like Stephon Castle and think, dude's got the energy, the spark. He's ready to go, but they're holding him back. It's like, just let the kid play.
And don't you think this highlights a bigger issue with their rotations? If you're San Antonio, it's not just about starting the right players, but how you adapt in those clutch moments. Castle could really change the dynamic late in games, but he needs those reps.
Right, right. And look at how it's working out for, sort of working for Charlotte. The Hornets are giving their young guys a shot. You got Musa Diabate stepping up, Nick Smith Jr. getting buckets. They're not winning much, but at least there's a plan there, you know?
Definitely. It's a tough situation. Only 13 wins on the season. But this is the time to evaluate talent. Young players like Diabate and Smith Jr. are making use of the opportunity. And that's critical for a team in transition like this. Wouldn't you agree, Marcus?
Oh, for sure. And Nick Smith Jr., man, has been sneaky good. You see those shooting percentages? Shooting 40% from the field and just under 40 from three? That's wild for a young player. Dude's got the tools.
He does, and that's where I think organizations sometimes miss the bigger picture. This reminds me of what I saw when I was working on that documentary about overlooked players. So many times, it's about being in the right environment to thrive. The Hornets, though struggling, are giving these young talents the platform to find their footing.
Yeah, I love that comparison. Like, it's not just stats, it's growth. But do you think they're going to stick with Bridges long term with how up and down he's been? Or is it time to cut ties and rebuild all the way?
That's a tough one. Bridges has shown flashes, but his efficiency raises some real concerns. I think the Hornets will have to decide this offseason if he's part of their long-term vision. It almost feels like those flashes are enough to keep the question alive, doesn't it?
Totally, man. They're skating on thin ice with him. But hey, at least they're not scared to let the young guys ball out. Give me more of that from both teams, all right? All right, Eric, speaking of young players making their mark, we got to talk about the All-Star game, man. I mean, they've turned this thing into a four-team tournament now. Tell me that doesn't sound like some pickup game by a bunch of 2K nerds just wilding out on a Saturday night.
It's definitely a creative pivot. The NBA is trying to recapture some of the magic and competitiveness that's been missing. But this format, four teams with target scores, raises the question. Does it actually make the game more intense or just more gimmicky?
Exactly. Like, I'll give them credit for shaking it up. The old East versus West setup was kind of tired. But man, back in the day when MJ played, or Kobe, those guys straight up battled. Now it's like, who can flex the hardest without sweating too much?
That's true. But I think what they're hoping is that these smaller team-oriented matchups can build rivalries. You know, create moments that resonate beyond just highlight reels. Do you think that's enough to get the players competing harder?
Man, I don't know. Like, can we really talk about incentives, though? They bumped the winner's bonus to 125K. Like, that's gonna matter to guys making nine figures. I'm all for seeing these dudes having fun, but let's call it what it is, a glorified exhibition.
That's a tough critique, but not unfair. To get real intensity, like playoff-level grit, the stakes must feel more meaningful. A bigger prize pot or even tying all-star performance to contract bonuses might move the needle. But isn't there value in just having a fun spectacle for the fans?
Oh, for sure. I'm not saying scrap it. Fans still want to see dunks, deep threes, all the flashy stuff. But make the players care more, you know? Like, bring back pride. It's got to feel like it's bigger than just the paycheck. Imagine if they played for charity or something. Then it's like, boom, built-in motivation plus good vibes.
Now that's a thought, channeling competitive energy into something impactful. I also think the new format with these shorter games could spark intensity. A race to 40 points creates urgency, but it's too early to tell if this has staying power. It might fizzle out fast if the passion isn't there.
Or what if they leaned all the way into something wild? Like streetball rules. You call your own fouls, no refs, pure chaos. Maybe then you'd see some real fire, like players trying not to get clowned on national TV.
That's certainly one way to reimagine the All-Star game. But in seriousness, the format change might give it a fresh feel for now. Still, you're right. It has to hit an emotional chord with players and fans alike. Let's see if this year's tournament can deliver on that promise.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth a shot, right? And hey, at least this gives me something to argue about with my boys when we're playing 2K. Like, yo, would LeBron's squad even win this year's All-Star setup? You know, that kind of vibe.
Absolutely. And I think this discussion, Marcus, underscores a bigger point. Whether it's All-Star weekend gimmicks or full-season play, the NBA is in a constant state of evolution. Some ideas stick, some don't. But they keep pushing for better. And as fans, our job is to keep them accountable.
No doubt. So here's hoping this year doesn't end up feeling like just another highlight-only game. Let's see some fire, some drama. Give us a reason to care, man.
And that's the hope, right? All right, that's all for today, folks. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Swish Tell. We'll catch you next time. And who knows, maybe with some fiery all-star moments to break down.
For real. And with that, we wrap up this episode of Swish Tell. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time. All right, peace out, y'all.